Players ready? Play. 15th seed here. Season 2024, I decided I would record my year on the tour in a podcast and created the 15th seed tennis podcast. And I've now completed that assignment. So thanks to those of you who have followed me throughout the journey or just listened to bits and pieces and sent me messages of support or questions. It's been much appreciated, and I've actually quite enjoyed the process. Before I get on to the season review proper, I'll just deal with one last question. Probably didn't get to all of the questions, I'm afraid, but this one comes from Dieter, who asks, there are numerous exhibition events and charity events. Why don't you participate in them? Thanks for the question. Dieter, you're half right. I don't play in the exhibitions. I'm aware others do, and I'm aware it's a good way of making extra money. But my priority is, and has always been, ATP points. I have a well-planned schedule which builds in breaks and downtime for recuperation training. And I don't want to jeopardise that by playing extra events. I see people playing extra events and then complaining about the length of the season. It always makes you curious. But I don't play events where there aren't points. The only exception this year was the Olympic Games, which was pretty special. But I don't want to risk injury and burnout is the reasons. And I have to also say, I sort of find some of those exhibition events not particularly meaningful and not nearly as interesting. The other part of your question, though, is not entirely right in terms of the charitable aspects. I just haven't highlighted my participation in the podcast. Before each and every ATP event, they'll arrange for, 20 or 30 local kids from the area who are facing challenges or maybe underprivileged to come out to the courts when the players are, preparing and training and getting ready for the tournament. They're able to mix with the players. They're given some gear and merchandise and probably some rackets and some tickets to go and see the event. And I've let the ATP know that whenever they have these sessions before the tournaments, just tell me a time and a place and I'll be there. And I make it my business to always attend. Sometimes you think it's not going to suit. Sometimes it might be wet, might be hot, might be, cold, whatever it might be, but I always make sure that I attend the event. If I didn't do so, what am I saying about their importance and worth? What's it saying about me as an individual and my priority? So I will always be there. There's a number of other players who do likewise. Most players put in. The other things I do is that I attend clinics when requested. No, I don't see charges for it. No, I just see it my responsibility to put back to a sport that I love. And I speak at Rotary and Lions and Kiwanis, and again, they offer sometimes some sort of recompense or something, and I always donate it back because for me, it's important to talk about sport, clean sport, sport without overbearing parents and letting children enjoy and just progress at their own rate and level and not expect them to be superstars. So I'd like to think I do a fair bit of charitable work, and hopefully that will continue over my lifetime, whether or not I'm playing tennis. Okay, 15th seed here, the 2024 season in review. My primary aim was to maintain my 15th seed ranking or 15th ranking on tour. And to achieve that, basically, you've got to accumulate about 2,500 ATP points in the course of the season. My ambition over and above that, of course, was to threaten the top 10, which would require me to achieve points around 3,500 ATP points. So how did I do? I accumulated 2,445 points. So I was just five short of the aim. But that was enough to consolidate my 15th ranking. So in that regard, I could tick that box, and that was, rewarding. The final event of the season, the Paris Masters, of course, was critical to that. I mean, I had actually felt that I wasn't going to achieve my aim, and that was the difference. So that was huge for me. But the reality is, whilst I maintained my 15th ranking, I didn't in any way threaten the top 10. I'm still a fair way from that, and more work needs to be done. 15th seed here in my 2024 season review, and I'm always asked about prize money. My prize money from tournament play was about $2,300,000, which is a considerable amount of money. Of course, you lose more than half of that in tax and expenses, but I accept it's a very good return. On top of that, there are the endorsements, sponsors. I have tennis equipment, clothing, contracts, patches that you wear on your shirts. I've got a watch contract. I'm very lucky. That assists. So that's also, I suppose, one of the reasons I don't feel the need to play as many exhibition events. 15th seed here, 2024 review. What was the good? I made the final of the Paris Masters. That was my highlight of the year, my best tournament, losing to Alexander Zverev in the final. I made the final of Delray Beach, but again lost easy to Fritz. Cincinnati semi-finals. And fourth rounds of both the Australian Open and Wimbledon. So those were the tournaments that gave me most reward and satisfaction. Individual matches, the wins over Carlos Alcaraz in the Paris Masters and Daniel Medvedev on clay were excellent matches for me, and important to show that on the day I can mix it with the best in the world. The less good was my first round exit in the US Open in straight sets. And the China trip generally played at Beijing and Shanghai, and really didn't play my best tennis. Less good was also the way I lost to the Sinners, Djokovic, Zverevs, Fritzes, Tsitsipases of this world. I mean, when they beat me comprehensively, and I need to find a way to be more competitive when I play those guys. My hoodoo player of the year, that's my new category, Roman Safulin from Russia. I lost to him in Brisbane and also in the Olympics first round. He seemed to have my measure on both occasions, and good player. Underrated player, but I think he loves playing me. In terms of my individual game, I thought this year I served pretty well. I thought my forehand was pretty good. I have improved my second serve, but there's still much that has to be done in that regard. I tried to flatten my backhand, hit it deeper. That's a work in progress. I gave more thought to my strategy within points, and I think I did that a lot better, although, and probably understandably, became a little suspect under the pressure of the best players. What I wasn't particularly good at this year, my poor starts in too many matches. There's too often dropping an early serve, losing a first set. That really, I need to be switched on right from the get-go. That's something I've got to work on. The other thing was and I touched upon it just before, is the easy losses. I mean, it's one thing to lose, but when you get beaten in straight sets and you're not really competitive, is the issue. I've got to make sure that I'm competitive against every player in the world, whether they're number one or whatever. I've got to be able to find a way to compete. Highlights on the court this year, my Paris win over Carlos Alcaraz, I mean, just gave me enormous confidence, satisfaction. It was enjoyable. I felt I belonged. I think we both played pretty good tennis. That was my undoubted highlight and came late in the year. My off-court highlight was participating in the Olympic Games. Incredibly inspiring to be amongst other athletes and just spending time with them. Really, I don't know, confirm my love of sport generally. My schedule this year was well thought out. I thought it went pretty well. Yes, I added Geneva. I might have added one or two at the end of the year, but I thought it was pretty balanced. And I think it consequently, I didn't suffer significant injuries. I had no retirements. So I was pretty pleased that I'd thought it out. And whilst I've missed a couple of tournaments that I would love playing, if it didn't work into my travel schedule and playing schedule, I left it out and I tried to give myself breaks before the Grand Slam. So I think I'd probably go with a very similar schedule in the coming year. My overall assessment of the 2024 season is a 7 out of 10. I achieved my basic aim of maintaining a ranking, but I can't give myself anything more than that, where I really didn't do anything to put myself in contention for being a top 10 player. So 15 seed, 2024 season, 7 out of 10. Fifteen seed here for the last podcast of the 2024 season. Probably should talk something about the season generally. When I look at the major tournaments, Australian Open, Jannik Sinner beat Medvedev from two sets to love down. Alcaraz won the French Open against Alexander Zverev after two sets to one down. Both of those obviously going to five sets. Alcaraz backed up at Wimbledon, beating Novak Djokovic in straight sets. And at US Open, Jannik Sinner beat Taylor Fritz again in straight sets, although those last two matches were, you know, they were competitive sets. The Olympic Games, Novak Djokovic beat Alcaraz 7-6, 7-6, an excellent match there. Davis Cup, Italy won with the best player, Jannik Sinner, being involved. So I think it will be seen as a pretty good and pretty interesting year at the top level. It was a year that's noted for the retirements of some real superstar players. I mean, obviously, Rafael Nadal, one of the two or three best players of all time. It captured the imagination of the public and will be sorely missed. Andy Murray, who just epitomised hard work, coming back and facing challenges physically and the like and fighting through them. And incredible career, winning some Grand Slams against very good players. And the third one, Dominic Thiem, who would be the winner of the good guy of the tour, one of the most talented players and a Grand Slam winner and finalist. So those three will be sorely missed. Highlight match of the year for me, I think it was Novak Djokovic beating Alcaraz in the Olympic final. I mean, it's just such a brilliant, meaningful, emotional game. Djokovic was desperate to win it, and he's now won the Golden Slam. So he had the best player of all time playing, you know, one or two of the best or second best player of the current era. That was just fantastic to watch two of them battling that out. The downside of this year was the positive test of Jannik Sinner. Not so much because of the drugs themselves, because I don't think anyone thinks Jannik Sinner's a drug cheat, but it did show the inconsistency and issues of non-disclosure. And I think there's been a real loss of confidence in how tennis deals with the drug issue. I don't think there's any doubt that if Jannik Sinner had the same, episode or circumstances, but he was number 27 in the world, he wouldn't be able to identify that the masseur was his personal masseur if it was some ATP masseur on the tour that the rest of us have to use. You wouldn't be have been able to identify the issue. He wouldn't have been able to have the matter dealt with in the first 2 weeks. He would be rubbed out. So it's demonstrating an inconsistency between the very best players and the rest, and something needs to be done about that. Having said that, Player of the Year, Jannik Sinner, wonderful, you know, 2 Grand Slams and the Davis Cup and the seasons end, fantastic year. Big improvers for me, Taylor Fritz and Alex Dimonor from Australia. I just thought his elevation from about, you know, mid-teens to in the top 10 and holding it and really just working on a game and in introducing a bit more power to it. So hats off to him. So in conclusion, 15 seed, achieved my aim of creating a record of the year on the tour. The podcast may not have been polished or expertly produced, but I trust we're of some interest and provided some insight into the life of a professional tennis player. The wash-up is 7 out of 10 for the 15th seed. And on that note, for the final time, I say thank you, ball people. Thank you, Hawkeye.